This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 240. Never judge an anime by its cover.
Unless it's hentai.
Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl Gaming Tech Gadget and Anime Podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And how was your week?
Great.
Did you have a good one last week?
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because my week sucked last week.
Yeah, I know.
It was kind of shitty.
Yeah, usually your week goes na-na-na-na, but this week it was like na-na-na-na.
Last week was like wah-wah-wah.
Yeah, it was. I am very sorry.
But here we are at the start of a new week. And you're kicking it off right by listening to our podcast, which you can't go wrong with.
No, absolutely not.
Ever in life. You can't go wrong listening to an episode of our podcast. You will laugh at least once.
And we hope. And if not, at least it's free, so you don't have to worry about getting money back.
See, there you go. So, right there, boom, value added. That's what happens in the land of Esh.
Yeah.
So, we've got a lot to talk about this week. Mostly because we've been doing a bunch of gaming this week.
We've been doing a lot of gaming, anime watch. I really wish that this had been the week that was our all anime show.
Because you literally got reinvigorated after last week's episode.
It was nuts. Like, no, it's just because they finally put more anime on Netflix. And I was scanning through and it was like, hey, Panda, you like these?
Netflix?
There's more anime on. They, like, added some more series and stuff.
Oh.
And, like, I caught it off the. And I'm like, whoa. I'm like, there's new stuff. There's more stuff. I'm like, I really wish this had been the week. Because I would have had anime to talk about. I
mean, new anime.
New anime, yeah.
Well, because we talked about anime last week.
Yeah.
And I think we had a really good discussion about anime last week.
I know, but I wish I could have watched something new.
Well, why don't you tell me a little bit about some of the new stuff that popped out on Netflix?
I've had a chance to watch two things that they finally put on Netflix. New to Netflix, but not new in anime, the whole complete series of Trigun.
Trigun?
Is available.
Oh my god, I love Trigun.
As soon as I saw that, I said, oh my god, yes. They did put the first season of Spice and Wolf also for instant streaming.
Spice and Wolf?
I'm going to talk about that actually on the show today.
All right.
They put the whole collection of Rin, Daughters of, I'm going to mess this word
Nemnocene?
Up.
Nemnocene?
Yeah.
Nemnocene.
Nemnocene.
Yeah, Nemnocene.
Mm-hmm. Granted, that's only 6 episodes long for due reason. We'll be talking about that one also. The anime that I talked about a long time ago. Higurashi no Nakoroni.
Sure.
I'm trying to remember what the English name of it is, but I can't remember it. I have it. I have the first disc on DVD.
That's how I know you're dedicated. You're like, I'm trying to remember what its American name is, but I can't. So I'm just going to rattle off its actual name in Japanese. Like, it's nothing.
No.
I love you for that.
But, oh God, it's something like I have it. It doesn't matter. And I have the first 3 discs on DVD. I have the rest of it in AVI. Don't ask me how I procured it.
Yeah, don't.
But I have it. And I actually have the second season of it. And I think I told you it was based off of a visual novel.
Right.
And pretty much in that universe, you know, they're all very moe characters. They pretty much live in this rural town that has this history, you know, that plays into everything that happens to in the town. And they keep repeating the same events. Like, there's all these gruesome murders, and they all tie into each other in very weird ways, and you have to figure out who is manipulating the time. Because, you know, every so often, someone comes into the town who doesn't belong in the town and might reset or line the path of time, which could lead to a different death altogether, and someone trying to figure out who is manipulating the time stream. And she only has so much time to figure it out before she has no more resets, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And when she dies, that's it. Because she's been resetting and going back and trying to figure out who is the instrument for the whole thing. And you actually don't find out who that is until season 2. So you're going through all these murders, you're like, what? what? Okay, what? And then second season, everybody's back. You're like, but didn't you die? And you, you know, so it's a little, it's, and I mean, the deaths in it are quite gruesome. Like episode 7, you know, they're these two twins, Mion and Shion, and, you know, one's really soft and elegant, and one's kind of, I'm a tomboy, but I'm actually really sensitive on the inside, mm-hmm. but, you know, I'm trying to be the big person here. And you find out that Mion, the tomboyish, actually really wants to be very girly and knows that she can't because she's actually part of the Yakuza in the area. So she kind of has to have this frame. And she kind of goes nuts.
Kind
of? Yeah, she kind of goes nuts. And she pretty much, you know, tortures the fuck out of her sister. And, you know, the main character in the games is a boy whose name I can't remember now either. I'm going to go and rewatch it now. But he figures it out. You know, and figures out that she, in that scenario, is the instrument, you know, leading to all these murders. And he's trying to convince her not to do it anymore. And she's got him strapped down to this weird torture, you know,
table
that is like a person, like your arms go on each side, and there's like, and she's literally taking nails and hammering them into sections of his fingers, in his toes, ripping his toenails out. Yeah.
Ew.
Like, some animes really take the torture to a different level. Like, I mean, a couple of times I had to, like, stop it, because I'm like, I know what's going to happen. It's not real, but it's so gruesome. And, you know, these are very moe characters, so they're all really pretty. You know, you don't want to see pretty things get mutilated, which I think is why it's such a twist mm-hmm. on the genre. You know, and you're kind of like, oh my god. You know, and their eyes get that really big, like intense big, like not even that cute big, like that I'm gonna fuck you up big. And she does. she doesn't kill him though, because I think he goes through several, you know, she goes through several of his fingertip areas, and, you know, and he finally gives her the information that she kind of wants, and, you know, she doesn't really want to kill him because she actually kind of likes him, so she kind of spares him.
Yeah, I kind of like you, but I am going to rip your freaking toenails
some
off.
Of them, I think.
And I'm going to drive some nails through your finger. Like, the moment that you tied me on the table, I would have given you the information you wanted.
Yeah, well, no, he didn't. And, you know, at the very end, she's like, look. She's like, because, I mean, she's kind of possessed at this point. She's half possessed, and she still has some of her fundamentals. And she's like, look, she's like, I'm going to let you go. Don't tell anybody what you've seen. And if you don't talk to me ever again, I'm going to disappear. Don't look for me. Don't anything. You know, because the demon in her wanted to, you know, kill him off also.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, seal her trail. But she, you know, is fighting that entity of herself. And in the end of the episode, she, like, sneaks off to see him one more time. And he's like, I knew you could overcome it. And she's like, well, not exactly. And stabs him. And it was actually the demon part had taken over her completely and wanted to finish what she had started and killed him, too. And then she fell off the building that she went up, you know, went into and died herself. So, I mean, that story arc was not very happy in the
obviously,
but I'm just saying, and that's really psycho, you know, psycho horror with a lot of gore in it. So I mean, I think over in Japan they have a really good idea of how to incorporate several different types of horror into one particular series. So you're getting a mix of all of it in anime, as opposed to movies that are, you know, slasher freak or psycho, you know, psycho horror or just psychological.
Yeah,
because
I think that when you blend it like that, you tap into more of the emotional areas than just a slasher flick. Like, you, when you go into a slasher flick, you know that you're supposed to come out of this thing scared.
Yeah.
Like, you're not supposed to come out of it, you
like,
know, and
like, The
be
Collector, I mean, it's weird. Like, The Collector, you know, live-action movie, kind of, you know, wasn't necessarily I mean, it had elements of a slasher in it. You know, this guy setting up a house, you know, to pretty much kill everybody in it except for whoever can survive through most of the sets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and in The Collector, you have this man who kind of, you know, works on houses, like, for construction, learns the layout of a house, and when people are, like, away while they're doing renovations, will go in there, steal their shit, and roll out. And, you know, he has this plan to go into this house, steal this diamond from this safe, and at the time that he does this, the evil of the movie, The Collector, has already gone to the house and reset traps. I mean, like, put razor blades in the boards of the windows so you couldn't stick your hand out because it would cut through your... Like, I mean, really, really delicate stuff. You know, I want to say he did get a woman in the house and pretty much tore out her tongue, Yeah.
Ew. Or,
yeah. You know, and she's tied to this, she's tied in this bathtub, and she has, you know, tape over her eyes, so you think, oh, just rip the tape off. He hammered the tape into her skull. So, you know, so that, you know, the guy, the thief who's in there, you know, he hasn't been hurt by anything yet, you know, and he's like, I need to get the fuck out of here. He's like, I'm, you know, the husband's already been mutilated. I think he got cut in half, like, by a saw, hacksaw. So it wasn't like a chop and you're dead. Like, this guy literally took time to fuck this guy up, you know, and was going to torture her later. And, you know, he was about to rip, but he realized it had been hammered in. And he's like, you know, because she could still hear. And he's like, this has been hammered in. He's like, I'm going to pull it out. It is going to hurt, so don't scream, you know, not to cut, you know, any more attention. So, you know, he's slow. And I mean, they show that, you know, he's pulling out the nail and she's, I mean, it's a little fucked up.
Actually,
it's not a little. It's a lot fucked up. But, I mean, I don't usually go to the movie theaters to go see slashers. I really don't. A lot of people are like, you need to see Saw. And I'm like, I don't know if I could see Saw. I haven't seen any of them. And everyone's telling me that I have to experience at least the first one. The first one apparently is really good. And after one, it kind of starts getting crappy, mildly crappy. What the heck is this? That's not believable. And, ooh, 3D. That's pretty much the progression of most franchise movie things.
It's like, the first one was awesome, so everyone's like, oh, you gotta do it again. And you can't recreate necessarily the same feeling. So, but people want to go see it, so let's go make another one, and we'll try to do something new, and we'll make it live and spry, and maybe we'll introduce some comedy into it too. And then you're like, what? And then they do another one that typically goes direct to DVD.
And then the fourth one's got a mechanical spider, a giant mechanical spider.
Yeah, it always
spider.
Has a giant mechanical spider.
But I'm just saying, always. So I mean, the person who did, who I think directed, Saw, directed The Collector, which was like, okay, it's only one movie. So I went to go see that. I went and saw it at like 11:30 at night. Probably not the best.
That right there is not the best recipe for success.
Not really. And I'm like, I had to drive home at night, locked the doors, have my inner lights on. And it really, you know, it wasn't like I came out of it scared on my mind that, oh my God, I'm going to go home and my house is going to be tripped out, because I was like, I live in a crowded city. And I live right on the line between, you know, ghetto and...
You live between the suburb and the urb.
So, I mean, if I was...
Like, literally, you are on the line. You turn left and you're in the suburb. You turn right and you're in the urbs.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think I'm in a pretty strong place.
Yep.
Because I'm close enough to get to police, and I'm also close enough to find people who have guns.
Yes.
Who aren't police. So, I think we're actually in a pretty good pinnacle place.
Yes. Right. And you know people on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
So it's always, you know, you gotta have friends.
But I think in terms of, you know, we're considered Western, aren't we? We're the Western and they're Eastern.
Yes, we are the Western.
So, and I mean, in terms of Western...
Air quotes are the Eastern.
Yeah. Western, like, in terms of Western storytelling, whether it's slasher or not, I honestly do think that, you know... Like Japan and over there in the Eastern, their Eastern version of storytelling and cinematography is a lot more different, which gives them, I think, a little bit more power in their movies. Like, I really do. The Audition.
Okay.
Japanese. Horror. And, I mean, it's got horror in it. Like, it's a little intense, you know, man loses his wife, auditions to find a new bride, finds a girl who's very attractive, very demure, so to speak, and you find out she's fucking crazy, you know, he gets her a puppy, it's a beagle, so cute, and, you know, at the very end of this whole thing, because, you know, she starts doing all these things because he's still, like, narrowing down his choices, you know, for this. And, you know, she starts hurting the other candidates, so to speak. And, you know, he finally makes his decision on her because, you know, the other ones have, you know, all of a sudden gone missing and or murdered. Mm-hmm. Which doesn't make any, you know, he doesn't put it together till the very end. And when he finally does, you know, accept, you know, her and gets her this puppy and starts moving her in, she still isn't happy because he didn't choose her first. So, okay. I mean, so she's got this weird mindset in her head. And, you know, she doesn't care about this puppy, and she uses piano wire to mutilate this puppy. And he comes home to seeing the puppy all broken, and its mouth open, like, I mean, like, yeah. Like,
no,
they bring,
don't
yeah,
hurt the puppy.
Then the puppy did nothing to her. Like, he didn't even, like, growl. Like, it was a cute puppy. It did nothing to her. And she just mutilated it. So, I mean, like I said, I think their storytelling is a little bit more advanced because they're willing to push, you know, things that we are definitely not comfortable
well,
as a society
go,
here
go through
to
some lines that we don't go through.
That
but,
we can't.
You know, don't. I mean, I think it's really very evident in anime, like Rin. For instance.
Oh, God, yeah.
Which you watched.
I watched
before
first.
Me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I gotta share a little bit of the story on that. So, if you've ever taught, you've first ever tuning into this show and you've listened to any of our other episodes, back a long, long time ago, I'd gotten my wisdom teeth taken out and the pills were really taking an effect on me and my mom.
They were quite strong.
My mom was like, oh, I feel so bad for Pandalicious. You know, she's kind of out, not really moving, because, I mean, they gave me really powerful sedatives. And this is back when we still had a Blockbuster down the street.
That's
and
right.
She saw a cover for an anime, and she's like, oh.
And Eshmom being the awesome
mom
that
she
is.
You know, was like, oh, it's anime, and it's really pretty. The cover's really pretty. I'm going to go and rent this for Pandalicious. And, I mean, she's actually rented, too. She rented me Ninja Scroll.
Yep.
The movie.
Yep.
And this other one, oh, God. What's it? Angel Sanctuary.
Yes.
And I mean, covers were
and
both
the
very pretty.
Very pretty covers.
You know, but you can't judge
you
anime.
You should never judge an anime by its cover.
I mean, unless it's hentai, because then you definitely want to know
well,
what
you're
getting
into. Well, I mean, then you pretty much have a...
But, you know, we have another instance of mom selection. Back at Christmas this year, she wanted to surprise me with, you know, because she already knew that I knew what I was getting for Christmas, and she wanted to give me something that I didn't know about. And mom, being mom, was on Amazon looking at animes and stuff, and, you know, saw this pretty cover.
Mom likes the Amazon.
Yeah, she does. And she's on Amazon, and she's looking through these animes, and I think now on Amazon, certain series that you can buy, they actually give you a preview of the first episode for you to get an idea of what the anime, which I think is a great idea.
Yep.
You know, and she was like, oh, she's like, it was a really great preview, and I can't remember its name. I think it had sisters in it. And I'm like, well, that doesn't say a lot. You know, but she didn't want me to figure it out. But she was like, I totally don't remember what it's called, and I wanted to get it, and I'm literally upset. You know, and I figured it out maybe 20 minutes after
that. She was really upset that she couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, so as soon as I figured it out, she's like, well, now I can't get it for you because you know. You know, so I was like, oh, well, I'm like, it looked interesting. I'm like, I would like to know more about it. And sure enough, several months later, it became available on Netflix.
But so, not before you had done some research before.
I mean, I had done some, but not a lot to... I was like, oh, I'm like, you know, a consulting agency. Oh, we got some guns. We've got
yeah,
action.
Yeah, so basically
we've got
the
boobs.
Breakdown and the explanation of the series on Amazon is that the lead character, Rin, runs a consultant agency that is actually a front for a secret group that does investigation into paranormal-type activity.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. No, I'm talking about what the Amazon description says.
Yeah.
Okay. And then and it talks about her partner and weird things happening in the city, and that Rin clears it up.
Yeah, she's the one you go to when shit gets.
That's how
not
Amazon
necessarily gets real, but gets abnormal.
Yes. Okay,
yeah.
And so from the Amazon description. You'd be like, okay.
I could see why Eshmont, and not to mention hot chicks, big boobs, and from most of the animes I've ever watched in her company, that would definitely attribute to my taste.
You know, the lead character has green hair and glasses, which, you know, traditionally the character breakdown, what that means that she's brainy, but a little shy, and, you know, kind of
not
like
even
die.
Integra from freaking...
Integra had white hair.
Yeah, but she had glasses and wore suits.
Right, but I'm
suits.
Talking about green hair.
Right.
Typically green hair and glasses usually leads to very introverted and shy.
You can't go you off know. Of glasses, though, because they're...
Not just glasses, but that's why I brought up the hair. Like, the character in Code Geass.
Yeah.
The one with the glasses. You know, the character from Sakura Wars.
Yep.
You know... Brainy, brilliant, quiet.
Right, exactly. Good
reserved.
Point. Oh, yeah, green hair and Sailor Moon.
Uh-huh.
Neptune.
Mm-hmm.
Reserved violinist. Didn't wear glasses, though, but mm-hmm. Yeah, green hair, you're
yeah.
Right. So I'm like, okay, this could be something I could, you know, jump into. So when it became available, I was like, you know, I'm going to put it on my instant queue, and I'm going to give it a peek. And
after the first episode, I kind of took a stop.
Kind of took a pause.
And in my mind, I said, you know, it's really scary how well my mom knows me, because I don't think my mom really knows me. And
she knows you.
You know, like, off of a picture of an anime, she's given me really great animes to add to my collection. So, I mean, in terms of Rin, so yeah, okay, runs a consulting agency, that aspect's too.
Yep.
She does have a partner, that's also true. Shit does go down in the city and she tends to poke her fingers into it, that's true too.
Yep.
You kind of find out that Rin is kind of, immortal.
Immortal.
Immortal, as in no die.
Yep, she no die.
Literally in the first episode, you kind of see her running with this lab coat on, half naked, and this other chick chasing her. And she jumps to this other building, you know, and she's got one arm completely broken, and she's holding on with one arm, one hand, and the other lady with this gun literally shoots her hand off, and she plummets to her death, and 2 seconds later, her hand falls. And you're like, okay.
Well, that's the end of that.
Yeah, and then, you know, the next morning, she's sitting at her desk, and she's calling for water from her assistant, Mimi. So I'm like, wait.
Actually, the next scene, because I watched it after you, so I've only been through for the first. The next scene is her waking up the next morning, naked in bed, reaching over to find her glasses, who were broken by the chick who shot her.
Because she stepped on them. But she goes to her office, and she's got, you know, and you'll see
and
that.
And so you think it's a dream.
Yeah, like she just had, and she. And no, she didn't.
Nope.
And you find out that both her and her partner, Mimi, are immortal. There is this tree that miraculously appears every once in a while. What is it called? Yggdrasil.
Yggdrasil.
And it will bear these little fruits. And, you know, they have, I think the regular ones are just kind of grayed out. And they just float around kind of like daffodil or dandelion little pixie things. Like, they're just in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, Yggdrasil will go and produce one that is kind of an abnormality for all these little sprite things. And these life fruits, and what they will do is, depending on if they are absorbed by a female body or a male body, will cause some type of effect. Entering into a female body will cause the woman to become immortal. And I mean, they just flow through, and they're not visible by mortal eyes. So you never know when you become a carrier until something gruesome, if you're a female, happens to you that would result in a death.
Or you realize that you can see Yggdrasil.
Yeah, that too. That's another. You can only see them if you are. And if you are a male who absorbs one of these life fruits, it will turn you into what they call an angel. And pretty much the angels, they are called that because they do develop these kind of blood-like, limbish muscle or wings. They do get the ability to fly. And they tend to inhabit a particular primitive or primal action. Like, they'll either want to engorge in, you know, something primitive like fighting, eating. Like, they've got this drive for one initial action.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Sometimes it's usually, well,
it,
for
it
most part.
It basically beefs up some primal urge that
man has.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a little dangerous because you've got this ultra-powerful being that can fly and can, you know, squeeze your head like a grape.
Yes.
Essentially. And the really interesting thing about this tie-in is that immortal women are sexually and emotionally drawn to angels, which makes them vulnerable and
uncontrollably.
And you wonder, well, if they're immortal, why would that be such a big deal? Because they can't die. Correction. They can die. Only at the hands of, obviously, or rather I should say at the mouth of an angel. Because angels are pretty much drawn to eat immortal women.
Yes.
So they'll hump like crazy and he'll eat her. Kind of like a praying mantis thing.
Yep.
Except he won't have a baby afterwards.
Nope.
He'll just eat her and go off doing whatever it is that he's doing.
Yep.
So, you know, Rin and Mimi have been around long enough to know that, you know, they've been living with normal people because, you know, they're not going anywhere. And they want to exist as normal as possible. They want to have a normal life, even though their life will never end unless, you know, they were devoured. And they've been doing a very good job of, you know, avoiding that. Anyway, they get tied into this one. It seems like a simple enough case. This guy just seems to not remember, or doesn't feel comfortable in his skin. Like, he doesn't believe that he is who he knows he is. And, you know, Rin's like, well, if you really want to figure it out, I can hire you, and we'll just figure out what your payment is. And it seems like it's just going to be a normal fix-em-up case. Oh, they wiped your memory, da-da-da-da-da, you know, the simple
kind of story. The government stole your memory because you saw something you weren't supposed to see.
And that's what I seriously thought was going to happen, but you find out there's this pharmaceutical company who is attempting to, you know, find immortality, and has found a way to clone people. And he had gone to this pharmaceutical company looking for part-time work because a friend of his was like, hey, they're looking for people. And he was like, I need a job. And he ended up getting butchered and cloned. So the guy that she's actually helping is a clone of the man who had been butchered, which is why he doesn't feel comfortable in his skin, because he's a copy. He's not the original.
Right.
You know, and, you know, through the process of figuring that out, there's this very cynical, sadistic doctor who...
she's really a bitch. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah, she's a crazy and bitch. I do mean sadistic. Like, she has this weird fetish to drive very sharp objects into every possible place she can in your body. You know, and she, you know, and at one point she traps Rin, and she doesn't realize that Rin has this ability to, you know, not die. And, you know, she's like, you know how many holes are in a body? She's like, women have 8, and men have 7. But the great thing about, you know, where we live today is, you know, you can change that. And she's like, and I'm going to. And she has all these tools and piercings and all this stuff ready to, you know, pretty much mutilate Rin. And she does. You know, and, you know, these security guards are like, wow, she really fucked this girl up. And they throw her into the morgue with all the other bodies, unbeknownst to her that, you know, in a couple of minutes, Rin's going to come too. Because, I mean, they all go through the act of death. They just come back. So it's not like, oh, yeah, you stabbed me and it's through my body and I'm not going to die. They always go through the act of death. But then come back to rip everything out that's been, well, in that case, all those little piercings and shit. She's pulling them out. And she even shoved, like, the whole chainy thing up in her vajayjay.
Yep.
And she was just like, ugh! I'm like, woo, that's just bad. So, I mean, there's a lot more going on because there's something going on in each episode. Now, mind you, there's only 6. And there's a lot of stuff going on in each episode. So, I mean, there's, like, it's like 3 episodes in one. There's always 3 different things going on that Rin is involved in. You know, and you find out, excuse me, later on in the series, that there are these angels that sit pretty much in Yggdrasil, the Guardian, and his next in line to be the Guardian. And every few years, a immortal woman is chosen to be the bearer of the next guardian, as in to give birth to. So, you know, when that time comes, the guardian is supposed to descend to her, they're supposed to have sex, he's supposed to leave his mark on her, and she's supposed to eat his white blood. Yep. And I think that's his semen.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yep,
I didn't write it.
Nope.
This is still something I would write, though.
Yes.
You know, and the guardian who is... Right, the acting guardian right now is in love with Rin. And Rin's actually in love with him. But, you know, him being an angel and she being an immortal, you know, it's kind of dangerous for them to be too close, because if he doesn't keep himself in check, he could eat her before the whole ceremony happens. But you find out that Rin's been chosen to be the next bearer, but not to him, but to the next guardian, Abos, who is, I think he's voiced by Chris Ayres. Greg Ayres, I'm sorry. You know, and Greg Ayres always has that very innocent, young, youth voice. Yes. That when he plays really sadistic characters, it's really creepy.
It's really very creepy. Very, very creepy.
You know, so, you know, Abos likes to torture the fuck out of people. Like, he likes to, you know, stab chicks with knives while he's playing chess.
Yes. It's very S&M in that he blinds them, typically puts ball gags in their mouths. And plays both their side of the chess game and his, while he has swords that are mounted on chains from the ceiling, they just randomly stabs into them or not, and pulls them out or re-stabs them, while they're barely clothed, sitting there and writhing in pain and agony.
And he kind of digs it.
He digs it.
You know, and he likes to torture the heck out of Rin, because I think he's aware that Rin is the next to be. And, you know, she's kind of thinking about the guardian that's now and not, you know. So it's really just kind of that whole, yep, you love her and I get to have her, na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Yep. So, you know, and the guardian can't really leave Yggdrasil. So the, you know, the woman has to appear in Yggdrasil before the ritual can happen. And, you know, he has a lot of back-to-back with Abos because he knows that Abos is plotting something but can't do anything about it. And you find out that Abos doesn't want this ritual of choosing an immortal woman to bear the neck. He wants to be the guardian for eternity. And you find out that he actually has the ability to do that because Abos is kind of both an immortal woman and an angel.
He a hermaphrodite.
You know, so he's the essence of both. So, you know, all he has to do is pretty much use Rin as a sacrificial lamb to this new root for Yggdrasil, because that's what also the ritual will allow them to do, is reestablish a new root for the tree. You know, and he's like, if I offer her up, you know, and her life fruit, you know, and eat her life fruit and sacrifice her body, then I can stay immortal, because they won't ever need another, because he's pretty much immortal already. You know, so he just wants to torture the hell out of her. You know, and Mimi, her roommate and partner in crime, looks a lot younger than Rin. Likes to drink vodka all the time.
All the time.
And, yeah.
Yep, in the episode where she has to have sex with the other chick so they get information about where Rin
is. Yeah, the espionage system in this society is apparently hot whore chicks who drink grasshoppers, and the only way to get information from them is to have sex or be in a room and watch them have sex with somebody else. Yep. There's always some type of element of strain and torture,
yep,
whether it's psychological or physical, in
and
that case.
And Mom wanted to buy this for you for Christmas.
So, but I mean, needless to say, I mean, the story itself, you know, in 6 episodes, they got a lot done. I mean, Angel Sanctuary also was only 6 episodes long, and they were able to put a series that could have easily have been an easy arc of 12, or even a 2-season of 24.
I think
it would
have made more sense, though, as an arc of 12. Like I said, I'm only 3 in, so I still have 3 to go.
Yeah.
But,
I wonder if they chose it to be 6 because they just want it to be an impactful burst and that's it. Or if they're like, yeah, I don't know how much more torture we could pump into to another 6 episodes.
I mean, we've ripped people's toenails and nails off. We've shoved everything.
I think the only thing that they have done
is
sodomy. No, they have not done any ass stuff. And I think they have a thing about that in Japan. You don't see a lot of sodomy outside of tentacles.
Sodomy.
So I'm just saying.
Sodomy.
I'm just saying. So, but I think there's certain elements
well,
that you
yowie
can only use.
I mean, there's yowie.
Yeah, but that's that's porn, so that's okay.
Well,
not rape.
I'm not endorsing rape. I watched Mirage Blaze. Have you seen that one? Mm-mm. Oh, okay. Well, just to speak on that. So, it was one of the series that I had seen on the Hulu's Plus.
Because, mm-hmm,
you know, I like the Netflix and I like the Hulu's. And I walk the line of, I don't like guy on guy just hentai stuff. Like,
okay.
That's just like, no. Not
like, hey, give it to me. Okay.
Yeah, like, I'm not that.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
Yeah, brown chicken, brown cow, no. No, that does not please me.
Okay.
But, like, stuff like Gravitation, where there's, like, a playfulness.
We're rock stars. I love you. I don't care that you're a man. Do me. Soft candlelight, beach waves.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I think that's funny. Like, it's really, really funny to me to see the trying to take some very effeminate, but yet still somehow very masculine figures,
mm-hmm,
and form a relationship around that. It just seems so awkward. And typically the characters are written awkward, and I just find something enjoyable in that.
Well, I think Gravitation was more of a shonen eye than a hentai, per se, because
right,
they don't show any of the sex. You just
right
know what happens.
And so Mirage Blaze, I thought, was supposed to be very similar to that. In reading some of the things that I found on the internet, it sounded like it was. A lot of people compared it to Gravitation and stuff like that. And I said, okay, well, I really like Gravitation, so I'm going to watch it. And so I start watching it. And basically, their feudal wars that were going on in the feudal era of Japan continue on as souls are reborn in people.
Oh, God, it's like Basilisk.
Yeah, yeah. And so it keeps going, and it keeps going, and it keeps going, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have the major houses trying to
usurp the other one.
Basically, yes, through this newer generation. And it comes down to this one kid who is basically, like, the best spiritual energy master that was in the one house, in the house of Hojo. This guy who wears sunglasses very much reminds me of an Ariyuki type. Very, you know, reserved. It was like, you know, you have the power to do all this. You can make these things happen. And, you know, I was your vassal light at your side. And where's where I should always be. Blah, 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 blah. And you're like, okay.
Here's my butt.
But you get a few episodes in and you're just like, what's going on? Because the guy who is the spiritual master doesn't remember anything from before. And typically when these spirits are reborn, they do remember their past and their mission and what they need to balance and what they don't. And he doesn't. And he fights it all the time. He's like, I'm not this person. I'm not this person. I'm me. The only person I've ever been is me and blah, 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 blah. But he eventually realizes that he has these powers and starts taking advantage of them. And
oh, God, this is... Now, see, that's from Angel Sanctuary. Because okay. Setsuna
yeah.
was the incarnation of the organic angel Alexiel. So...
Okay, yeah. And so his vassal, you find out, like, definitely has feelings for him. Mm-hmm. And so then you're trying to figure out, well, did he always have feelings for him? And was that part of their thing? And other people come into the mix and like, yeah, they've been doing this dance for, like, 400 years, and they need to just either shit or get off the pot. And you find out that as you get deeper in the story, basically what had happened was at one point in their reincarnation cycle, because this character has been in love, like deep love, with the lead character for so long, who didn't really upfront requite it.
Right.
But was interested in this girl. There was a battle and he was dying, and in order to keep his soul from being trapped in the body that it was, because it was something special, he forced his soul into the body of the woman he loved. And so once the guy realized that he was in her body, totally rejected the other guy and was pissed, was like, I'd never forgive you through all history. And he's like, I'll take that, I'll, you know, burn with that, because I wasn't gonna let your soul be destroyed and sent to hell and not be able to come back. And so he's still very much in love, but doesn't feel like when he remembers, the guy will love him back.
Right.
But he gets these little twinges and moments of, like, when he remembers that he's in love. And I'm like, okay, all right, so we're doing a complicated relationship.
No
okay,
shit.
All right, so I'll go along with this. But then out of nowhere, there's literally an episode where he rapes him. They're having this conversation. He's like, I don't understand how you don't understand what my feelings are, but I'm going to show you. And so he pins him up against the wall and rips his pants off. And I'm like, wait a minute. Time out. Like, I paused
the Hulu. Wait, like, the vassal?
Yeah, like, the... Yeah, he throws him because, as you learn later on in another flashback, he raped the woman that he was in love with. Like, the night that he moved his soul over from the body that was dying into hers, he had raped her because he was like, look, you can't have him, and I'm going to spoil you so that you can't have him. And so he had raped her, even though he had no love for her or anything like that. And he'd actually knocked her up. Yeah, I'm just like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Okay, now we're taking complicated relationship, like, to a whole new level.
Times, I can't, like, four.
I can't even process everything that's going on right now. And so he's, and literally, like, the character, I can't remember his name right now, it's so bad, but he's, like, up against the wall, he's like, you need to let go of me, I don't understand, what are you doing, why are you doing this?
Why are you touching my penis?
But then he turns all pink, and you're like, okay, now you're blushing like a girl, so does that mean that you kind of wanted
it? Oh, he liked it.
And then
he liked it.
The guy looks him in the eye and, like, sees that happening, and so he just stops out of nowhere. And he leaves. You're like,
wait a minute, you wanted him to like it. Why didn't you finish?
So then he leaves, and then the guy's like, I don't understand what just happened. Like, why did he do that? He's such a douche. And he goes running out of the room, and then they don't talk for a while.
Well, yeah, pending rape just, like, kind of okay. happened.
So then he goes off and does, like, other things, trying to get all this power, and he wants to be more powerful so he can protect him, but he's just like, I wish he'd come back. And it's like, he just tried to rape you, and either it was rape or you wanted it and you just didn't know you wanted. Like, you need to make up your mind. So then I started
flipping a coin and decide.
So then I started getting pissed off at the lead character. I'm like, you need to make up your mind. Do you want that dick or not? Because really, like, this is just a little bit
like, too that's much. Not fair to him and it's not fair to
it's
you.
It's not fair to you. It's not fair to everybody else in the world. And God. At the same time, like,
that's mentally exhausting. And it I haven't really even seen is. It yet.
And then there's another kid that, like, he goes to school with that he tries to protect all the time. He's like, you know, and it's really the kind of protection that you would, like, do for a girl. And I don't know why he does it for me. So you're like, okay, so are you actually gay? And
oh my god, just, like, maybe the, that chick has, like, maybe that dude has the essence of that the chick.
And that's what I'm thinking. But it ends, and then there aren't any more episodes. So you get to the point where, like, they defeat the main
whatever the main
family, I think it's the Oda family, right? And they wipe them out as far as being left, and so everything's safe. But there are still some leftover, like, underlings that they need to take out. And so it ends at that 12th season, and I was like, wait a minute. You can't just end it here. Like, I need to know. Are they getting back together? Are they not getting back together? Like, because the last 3 episodes, pretty much every character around them is like, so are they going to make up? Are they going to do this or not? You know, because, you know
we're going into this big epic battle. We should really have a united front.
They've been doing this for 400 years. Like, some kind of conclusion has to come to an head because they're both just destroying each other, and they do that whole, you know, two heads panning from the sander thing of, like,
yeah.
Will they, won't they? And so I'm like, it can't end like this. And so I started digging up on the web, and there was an OVA, a 3-episode OVA.
That makes sense.
So I was able to find it on Anime Crunch, and I watched the OVA, and the OVA just goes berserk. Like, it starts 2 years after where the 12th episode ended. So the main character is much more powerful, but they haven't seen each other in years, and they meet up because he's working for some big organization, and he's decided that, you know, maybe he won't, you know, pledge his loyalty to this guy anymore because he's found another leader who's stronger and, you know, better and right. All this kind of stuff. And so he comes back into his life, and they're having wine in his room and talking, and they're like, so he goes, so are we going to talk about it? He goes, there's nothing to talk about. He goes, I think there are things to talk about. He goes, oh, really? He goes, oh, really? He goes, well, are you ready to accept my feelings? You talk about me being true. Are you ready to accept them? Because I'll be true right now. And he's like, I want you to be truthful with me. And he's like, okay, well, then I'll show you. I'll show you. I'll make you accept it. So he rips off his shirt, spins him around, binds his arms, throws him down on the bed, starts ripping off his clothes and manipulating him.
Yes. I mean, no.
And I'm just like, wait a minute. And then his parents are like, wait a minute. Are you about to do? And yes, you are. And I was like, sodomy. So don't say they don't do it, because it's not a yaoi. It's not a hentai, but literally in the middle, there's like these 2 episodes where it's just like, and now you're going to take it up the ass.
And you did.
And you did.
Wow.
So, and then, like, before even completing the act, he, like, stops. He's like, So are we going to do this or not? Because if you're not going to accept me and accept my love, then we just need to move on because I got shit to do. And so he lets him up. And I'm like, okay. And he just sits there and is like, no. And so they go through, like, this whole other thing, and he ends up leaving. And then at the end, they work it out. And he has these flashes because he finally remembers his past and what's going on. And so there's, after they defeat this big evil thing, there's a moment where he's, like, getting in a car and he's like, oh, so you decided not to work for that big guy anymore? And he's like, no, I could work for him and I could be very successful, but I wouldn't be happy. So I'm just going to go out and, you know, do things in the world. And he goes, so you're running away? You're running away from this? Is that what you're doing? And he just looks back and he's like,
dude, I've nearly raped you twice.
Exactly. Like, I've literally put my penis in you twice and
you didn't seem to dig it. I'm going to find someone who's going to dig it.
So, you know, I can't wait another 100 years for you to decide. And he goes, well, you could run away and, you know, that would be easy for you. Or you could follow me and help me achieve what I want to achieve. And then he looks back at him and his eyes flash yellow. He goes, and if you do that well enough, maybe I'll let you embrace me. And then he walks away. And I'm like,
wait a minute. So he's sitting there teasing the fuck out of this guy. He's just cock teasing.
Exactly.
For 400 years.
I was like, dude, I would have raped you like 200 years ago. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
And then I'm sitting here literally thinking as I'm watching this, I just said that, like, I should have raped you 200 years ago. Like, that's bad. Yeah. I completely forgot, like, all the magic and all of this, the deep theory. I was, like, literally, like, dude, you should have given him some ass, like, at least 200 years ago.
Wow.
At least.
I mean, maybe if you do that loyally, I'll let you, you know, fuck my ass.
Like, seriously. Seriously. I was, like...
Jeez.
I was, like, first of all, if you're gonna go, like, if you're gonna be immortal... I mean, because we're talking about immortality
and
the whole sexual visual thing. Okay, if you're living forever, you should, by definition, at minimum, be bisexual, because...
You're going to be around for a while.
You're going to be around for a while. And
after a while, it's going to get a little boring. You got to switch it up.
You got to switch it up. You got to try some new things. So I don't have a problem with that. What I do have a problem with, though, is making somebody chase after it for centuries.
4 centuries.
Okay? That's just cruel, man.
Yeah, I know.
All right, and so then I started feeling like, I don't feel bad for you that you almost got raped, like, twice.
Okay, no,
actually,
I'm like...
you did get raped once.
Yeah, so you know what? You should have been raped far many more times
than that. Like, a long time ago.
At least once every 100 years.
At least once every hundred years, you gotta give up the booty. That's all I'm saying.
How on earth did he survive not having sex?
I don't know. And then that's how it ends. And there's nothing after the ova. I was like, really? Like, the most you get out of this is, like, if you follow me and you help me achieve my goals, which may take, you know, hundreds more years, I might let you hold me. I'm going to put things in every hole you have in your body.
We got time.
Like, there's a lot of time.
Wow. Yeah, so...
So, yeah, Mirage Blaze. Wow.
Wow.
You think it's one story, and then all of a sudden it's like, who put that dick there? Who told you could put that dick there?
So,
yeah.
I think we're done with anime. Do we want to talk about games?
Yeah, I think that's a good place to stop with the anime.
Yeah, we need a palate cleanser. Mind palate cleanser now.
Yeah, I also need to watch, like, something really saccharine. I think I need to watch, like, Angelic Layer or something.
I have it on DVD.
Because I really need to...
If you want to borrow it.
I need a soul cleansing. But on the gaming front, you know, we made mention during PAX East that we'd stop by Mortal Kombat. I had a great time playing it.
Yeah.
Recently, the demo became available for everybody to play on the PS3 side of the world, not just for the people who had the PlayStation Network Plus thing.
Of that fucking thing.
So I downloaded the demo, and we've played it. I've played it a bunch. It just looks stunning. It plays really well.
I think it plays the way that we thought that all the other MKs that have come before it would have played.
Which we mentioned, and not all of them, but it is... In its gameplay, it is classic Mortal Kombat, which I think has been missing in the franchise pretty much since 3 for me.
Yeah, I could say from 3 too.
You know, I mean, like, Armageddon started the crawl back towards classic MK.
Right.
You know, because we got rid of the friendships and the babalities and all that kind of stuff.
I liked friendship. I didn't have an issue with friends. I did not like baby. Ooh, let me turn you into a baby. So you're a sorcerer now? When did that happen?
Well, Shang Tsung.
Yeah, he is. But everybody else is like, ooh, you're a baby now. It's like, Striker.
I just happen to have flowers in my back pocket.
Yeah, like, I'm that's sorry a they're magician all bloody, trick. But I mean, like, you know, here.
That's a magician trick too. It's like, oh, and it's your birthday.
Sorry, I broke off your nuts.
Yep.
You know, here's
look
Kit
at
Kat
that.
Bar.
It's a quarter from behind your ear.
Like, surprise!
You know, I hated friendships.
No, there's been real friendships. Like, I'm sorry I kicked in your nuts. You want to touch my boobs?
But the new Mortal Kombat game, which will be available April 19th, I've already got mine pre-ordered. Handled that business earlier this week, because that, you know, needed to happen and go down. But the new one takes place... right after the events of Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
And basically goes back to what 1, 2, and 3 were all about. So it's, you know, test your might is back. Test your skill is back. The memory one, where they basically play 3-card Monty, that game is back. So
isn't that like test your luck, test your might, test your...
Yeah, it's test your might, test your sight, and test your luck. and which I think are great to bring back because I always like that in between.
Yeah, you know, it's like we're not only fighting, we're testing all aspects of the kung fu.
And it was basically just button mashing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I love in my fighters because, to be honest with you, until I get really serious about a fighter, that's all I'm doing. I'm just hitting buttons to see what the shit happens. And if it works out great, great. And if it doesn't, well, that wasn't my character, is what I typically say and move on to somebody else. But they are trying to bring back, I think, classic Mortal Kombat. And I think that's something that we've been missing,
really. Yeah, for quite some time. Let's not even joke.
You know, I think that's why, you know, the Super Street Fighter reboot went over so well. And so many people gravitated toward it. Because it went back to the fighter.
We need to go back to Toshinden.
I miss Toshinden, but
they need to redo Toshinden.
I don't know that they will.
They won't, but in my mind, they should.
You know, it's like when they brought Virtua Fighter onto the consoles, it just seemed like there was something missing in it. And I don't know if it was because they added so much complexity on how to customize your characters or things like that. And the thing that I loved about it was that it was just simple punch, kick, block. You know, no special powers, no fire flaming balls or anything like that.
No get over here chain.
Okay. And it was the fighter game for skill players. If you wanted to prove that you were great at fighter games, then you had to be good at Virtua Fighter. Because there was no specialty things, yep. There was no hacks, it was just pure on. Can you put combos together? Can you block effectively?
Right.
You know your shit. Okay, then you had your fun fighters, which do require skill. I don't want anyone to take this as me saying, oh, if you are a skilled fighter, then you only play Virtua Fighter. And any other fighter you play makes you a douchebag. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that you have your hardcore fighting genre,
right?
Which I would put Toshinden in that group with Virtua Fighter. And then you have what I like to call your casual fighter, which anybody can jump into and play and be on a fairly even playing field, or your hardcores can just own it outright.
And wail on each other and be happy.
Okay, you know, the people that string together 14-hit combos and things like that in your Super Street Fighter games and in your Mortal Kombat games. You know, I mean, like Killer Instinct.
I loved Killer Instinct.
Yeah, I would put Killer Instinct into this category. And I don't think that it diminishes anything, but that's, for me, where it kind of lies. And I've been really disillusioned with Mortal Kombat after Armageddon, to be honest with you. I couldn't even look at MK versus DC. I really wanted it to be so much more than really what it was. And even the little bit of hands-on time that I had with it when we went to PAX East, the first one,
right?
You know, what they were showing off, unfortunately, ended up not being what the game turned out to be. You know, having to dial back a lot of fatalities and things like that. And just ultimately what it ended up being was just a disappointment. And so I was really disillusioned. And to hear that, you know, Warner was picking it up and was going to run with the franchise really made me very nervous, to be honest with you, because after DC Universe, I thought, well, how are they going to reboot it? It's going to be softer because they're going to shy away from, you know, the blood and the gore and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Don't get me wrong. The one with DC was not really good, but I did like the interactive, you know, environments that they fought in and the switching and flipping.
Yes.
Like, that element I thought was really good. I wish they could have played that up even stronger in that mashup that they did. And I'd like to see them do something with that maybe down later on the road after they've, you know, see how well this one pans out from
I think it's gonna go really well. You know, the thing about it is that the characters that everybody knows and loves are all here. So I'm going to my notes right now. So if you hear paper, that's what it is. Because I don't want to mess it up. But, Baraka is in there, Cyrax is in there, Emirak is in there, Jade, Jax, Cable, Johnny Cage, Sindel, who's one of my more favorite characters, female characters, to be honest with you. Between her and, I actually like Jade a lot.
But I didn't even understand Jade's backstory. So, I mean, I know Katana was the princess,
yep.
Jade, Melina was the clone.
Yep.
But I didn't understand
I don't even know if Jade really has a backstory. I think she's another ninja.
Yeah.
And who admired Kitana, which is why she dressed like her.
I mean, except green.
Right. Because her name is Jade.
Yeah. And so all right, well then, yeah, okay.
But, so you've got Kitana, you've got Jade, you've got Melina, you've got Liu Kang and Kung Lao. Like I said, Sindel's in there, Sonya's in there, Striker's back, Sub-Zero, obviously. So is Scorpion and Reptile and Raiden. Quan Chi is in there. Noob Saibot, which, again, just, like, to me, screams Mortal Kombat. Because that's Tobias Boone, who made the original one. That's his name backwards.
Right.
So he's the other ninja. I don't think Smoke is in there, but I... You know,
what about Rat? The
Reptile?
Yeah.
Reptile's in there. And then as one of the first... Nightwolf is in there. And then as one of the DLC packs that you'll be able to get, you'll be able to get a character pack that has Kenshi, Kintaro, which is the multiple hand thing,
yeah.
And Scarlet in there. So you've got... just about everybody important who makes up the...
universe.
Yep. Goro is in the game, obviously, because it's not Mortal Kombat without it. You have the traditional tower game, which I absolutely love, which is your way of working up, you know, which...
to get through the tournament phase. Mm-hmm. So wait, who is our top guy that we're aiming to fight? Is it still Goro in this, or are they recreating a newer... champion.
I don't know if they're going to create a newer champion. I think, you know, in Tower, typically it flopped and it always ended up being Shao Kahn.
Yeah.
That was at the top. So I imagine that...
Well, first it was Shang Tsung.
Yeah.
Then it was Shao Kahn. Yeah.
Yeah. So Shang Tsung's in the game so you can play him. So I imagine that just like in the previous ones, as you work your way up the Tower, it still is going to be... if we're staying true to history and we're really doing a reboot, it's still going to be Goro, Shang Tsung, and then Shao Kahn.
Yeah.
And that may fluctuate depending upon what difficulty you pick.
Yeah.
That okay. I'm not sure of because I haven't been able to...
I'm really surprised that they didn't put Sindel higher up in that since she, you know, kind of is the, you know, ass.
Well, depending upon the difficulty that you played back in the day, she was usually more towards the top
of the spire. I assumed that I would have thought she'd be in that Final Four lineup before...
Yeah, but you gotta remember, as much as I love Sindel, she's not, like, the strongest player, unless you really know, because, you know...
Unless you really know her
because her thing is the banshee screaming thing.
Yeah.
And her hair whip. So, she's one of the more... She can be a devastating character in the right person's hands, and in the wrong person's hands, she's just a frustrating character to work with.
Maybe they'll go and they'll reboot her combos and her fight and maybe give her more.
I think so, because just from the little bit of gameplay that I've been able to find online that actually has her in there, because they've been doing character announcements along the way leading up to the release of the game. So you can find some gameplay of Melina, you can find some Johnny Cage gameplay, you can find some Scorpion gameplay on the web, definitely at gametrailers.com for sure. But it definitely seems to be, at least in her video, all of the signature moves that, you know, like the float in the air scream and the raise them up scream and then flying across the screen.
Right.
Thing, those moves are all still there.
Right.
So I don't know if it's just going to be more balanced with some stronger punch kick mechanic or not. But if you play the demo, you have the ability to choose between Melina, Sub-Zero, Scorpion, or Johnny Cage. You'll fight four battles. All the moves lists are open, so you can do fatalities. You can opt for gore or not gore, which I think is very important. But it, as Pandalicious said, when you play it, you feel like you're playing a really polished version of MK3. Like, that's what I felt I was playing. Like, I was playing...
for sure.
Like, Super Mortal Kombat.
Oh my god. Right.
Really, I mean, the environments look fantastic. They definitely pulled some of the design style and
I think all the characters that you see, they all now... I mean, back then, you know, when, you know, technology was still kind of, you know, forming itself, where, you know, oh, we finally have sprites that aren't just, you know, a circle with a color in it or a hat.
Well, you know, the original MK part of its deal and reason why it got all the shaft is because it was mocap.
Yeah.
So, you know, you had this blending of you know, yeah, video. So
I mean, and now it's, I think it's really interesting that, you know, in terms of like the character design, you see a lot more animation. So that thing that made it such an eye catcher before is play, I think, in terms of animation style and whatnot, is playing a lesser role in the newer reboot.
Yeah, yeah. The environments are definitely deep. You still have, depending upon which environments that you're playing on, the ability to do fatalities that involve the environment. Right. Which is cool. You know, like the fatality where you launch somebody into one of the evil trees and they consume them.
Yeah.
The mechanic of the skeleton thing, which we've talked about before. And you can actually see in some videos that they are age-gated, though, so be prepared to tell the world how old you are in order to see them, because it is a mature title. But I think that that's an interesting added mechanic.
Right.
Of, you know, when you do the super moves to see, you know, how it would impact the body. But, of course, when you look at how those x-rays break down, any of those moves would kill a human being in real life.
Well, they're all not necessarily human.
Right.
Except for Liu Kang. Who we know is from
Johnny Cage is human.
Yeah, they're both
Katana
from...
Katana is
yeah.
supposed to be human.
No, she's not, though. You know she's not 100%. She's the fucking princess to the alternative realm. She's
I know,
not.
But I think she was kidnapped from the human realm.
I don't...
She and Liu Kang are supposed to get down and have babies.
Yeah, abnormal, non-human babies.
No, I think they're supposed to have human babies.
No, they're not. She's not human, though. There's an aspect to her that can't be human.
Unless she was kidnapped from the human world.
Why would they kidnap a human to be the princess of the alternative realm?
So they would know how to relate to humans and what their weaknesses were.
They captured her, had her imprisoned, which is why she learned to... No, it doesn't make any sense, Ninja, and you know it.
No, they captured her so they could learn about human weakness and the condition and how they could exploit it. And then decided to keep her as a pet. And then as the ultimate destruction, when they took over the world, they were going to kill her. Be like, see, look, you guys mean nothing to us. Even one who was so high as to be our princess means absolutely nothing. Bang! Dead.
No.
Skull flaming thing to the head.
No. I don't know about that.
I mean, you've seen what females from the realm look like. Their bodies are okay, but their face is all fucked up.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you were Sang Sung, would you want to tap that? Or would you want to tap Katana?
Could I put a bag over their heads?
Let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you this, right? It's going to get really, really nasty for a second. Do you want to get a blowjob if you're Sang Sung from Melina? I think not.
No.
Yeah. You don't want to
chop it off.
Thank you very much.
Style. But then, so, no, but if I was Sang Sung, I would turn into a woman if I was going to
do it. Let me ask you this. You want to tap Sindel?
I haven't seen the new...
She looks the same, so she still has the Bride of Frankenstein hair going on and things like that. Like, the chicks from the Netherworld are kind of harsh looking. I don't know if you've
picked
up on...
It's a hard life in the alternate
exactly.
realm.
Exactly. So wouldn't you want to pick up a chick from the human world who's, you know, you might want to tap?
Right.
I'm just saying, the Netherworld chicks, kind of harsh.
Hey, maybe you like it harsh. Maybe you like it alternative.
So anyway, but I'm very excited about the game, and I sprung for the tournament edition because I wanted the fight stick.
Right.
We've talked about it a little bit. I'll make sure that I include a photo on the post on the website to go along with this podcast, so you can take a look at it as well. But it's absolutely, absolutely gorgeous, and I'm just really glad to see that the fighter hasn't gone the way of the dodo as far as the appreciation, because we've really as a group been focused a lot on the action title and, you know, the kart racer and the FPS for the last year and a half.
Right.
Okay, really, and to be honest, I could say 2 years, and that wouldn't be an exaggeration.
No, it would not. You're absolutely
okay. Right. It's been, you know, Uncharted, which is an amazing
and Uncharted
franchise, 3
is coming, y'all.
You know, but it's been Uncharted, and it's been Mass Effect, and it's been Killzone, and it's been Call of Duty, and it's been, you know,
I'm not hearing anything wrong with that, though.
No, I'm not saying there's anything wrong, but the focus has really been on multiplayer, FPS, and action platformer.
Well, let me ask you this: in terms of the fighter, I mean, we've already moved away from it,
and that was, you know, the base. Like, that's what we played. And
so I mean, I know that was what our love of games, I think, really came from. Mm-hmm. Until I realized you were really good at it, and I had to find a genre that I was better at you at Sonic.
And you have
Sonic.
You kicked my ass at the FPS
now, but back then, rings and going fast, and I'm not a person who would even run or push rings. Blue was nice, though. But in terms of, I mean, we're seeing a decrease in the music genre, and we're seeing that, you know, there's a potential death and hiatus for it coming. I mean, in terms of the fighter, they had a hiatus and now have come back all shiny and new. Do you think that might be what will happen, like, with the music genre type game, the rhythm-based game? I mean, because they took their break. They like Oprah, went away for... Plan to go away. I mean, they did go away. And now it's like, oh, Super Street Fighter. That worked. Mm-hmm. Tatsunoko versus MM...
Yes. Tatsunoko versus SNK.
Yeah. Also came back up. And I think it was foretold that it would come back.
Well, I think, like, anything that, you know... Everything goes in cycles because you have different people that are coming into the cycle in different age groups at different times. And I think that... You know, right now is a very good time because the majority of the gaming base right now is our age. And we grew up on playing Mortal Kombat and Super Street Fighter and, you know, the SNK games for those, you know, who were fortunate enough to have a Neo Geo system back in the day.
Yep.
You know, so I think that those things coming back, you know, Marvel versus Capcom has always had a devout following. Always. And MVC3 is just a fantastic game.
Yes.
And
I would agree with you on that.
I think that you've got a lot of developers right now who, again, are in our age group or just shortly on one side or the other of it who also have this affinity for it. And so I think it's coming back in because the cycle is
gearing up for that attention.
Those people are now in a position and an age group to actually make these things, buy these things even more often than they did before. You know, because back in the day, you know, the Nintendo cartridges were $75 a pop. Like, people forget. We bitch about the prices of games right now, but back in the day, a Super NES cartridge, brand new, for a bunch of games, you know, you would go to your Toys R Us or GameStop. Those were like $75 a pop.
Really?
Yeah. I remember one year I was asked what I wanted for my birthday, and I was like, oh, I want Super Street Fighter. And I asked, you know, our aunt, you know, for it. And Ashmom came to me and was like, you know what you're asking for is a very expensive gift because it's like $75. And I looked her dead in the face and said, yeah, I know, but I want it. You know, so, I mean, depending upon, unless it was like a used game or something like that, you know, cartridges cost big money. And then we got into the disc phase and they came down in price because they were on a disc. And now we've gone back up to where they've kind of creeped back up into that $70 area. And I was like, oh my God, games cost too much money. And I'm like, dude, used to cost that much, too. It was only really the Sega cartridges that started that price war, because the Sega games typically would come out at around the $50 price point.
And I had a Sega Genesis, bitches.
You know? So I think that it's just the equation of time and things like that, that there's a little more thought around the fighter in the nostalgic sense. I'm not upset about it at all. I don't know if this is going to be a resurgence of the fighter. Like, I don't see next year being the year of the fighter. I don't see even more companies coming out with fighter games because I don't necessarily know that outside of the existing...
So do you think that this might be, you know, like the coup de grace to it?
No, I don't think that this is going to be the piece that makes it over, because you still have, you know, things like the Xbox Live Arcade where people can make their own games. So you have the dev groups, and then you have, you know, all the things that are going on mobile.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, they may lend themselves well to some really interesting kind of fighters, but maybe not in the traditional sense. But I think that the king of the hill is always going to be the FPS, especially if it has multiplayer, because that's an easy workhorse. It's an easy sales point. You know, and it's a easy way to do DLC. because you can always create new maps and things like that. And I think that most developers now are thinking about, if I'm coming out with something, can I have a multiplayer component to it?
Is it something I could branch over at least three games?
Exactly, because...
Is the universe big enough to incorporate three
games? Is it
games?
A game that I can really create at least a year and a half's worth of engagement, because people being engaged with a brand for a year and a half will give me enough time to be working on the sequel to it.
Yeah.
I think that that's really what the dev cycle is. And so, you know, the fact that there's already a DLC plan in place for Mortal Kombat kind of tells me that that's what's going on. That there, you know, are DLC plans before games have actually reached market. That tells me, you know, they're already talking about, you know, DLC with additional arenas that they're going to release down the road and additional characters down the road. That also opens them up to, you know, do some kind of create a character contest that will be a DLC pack to do some interactive things.
Possibly,
you know,
bring in a new character to the universe.
Exactly. That's user-created. You know, like they did with the Soul Calibur game that they came out with, you know.
Well, they let you create a character, but I don't think we created one.
Well, they had a contest. Remember, they had the contest for the people to create characters, and they created three. The bitch with the two swords with the black hair, and the other full-armored, short-haired chick with the staff. And I forget who the third one was. But they had three people that, you know, won that contest. So I think that, you know, games now... Fighters specifically lend themselves well to user-generated content type things, whether it's a built-in mechanic or a contest thing that you'll add on layer that can become DLC for the world or whatever. But what attracted me to the tournament edition versus just the special edition that comes with, you know, the model and the art book was the tournament edition fight stick. And I've been wanting a fight stick for a while. I had tried to get my hands on the Super Street Fighter fight stick.
Yeah, the Fat Chance.
Oh, my God.
Fat Chance.
I tried. I went through import sites. I went ridiculous trying to get my hands on one of those. And then I finally gave up after, like, 4 months of working on my internet connections. But the Tournament Edition stick really just looks gorgeous. It very much feels like a polished cabinet stick.
Okay.
You know, and it's just really, I think, kind of marks off and just encapsulates really what fighters are about for me, which is, you know, joysticks, buttons laid all the way the hell out.
Yeah.
And you just for it.
They do give you an extended range. Like, I did see that it looked longer, so it wasn't just, like, four buttons all layered out.
The difficulty with fighters now on the consoles that we have now, especially with motion being added in, is that you can't do a fighter with motion.
No way.
You can't.
Because we're not all Kung Fu masters.
Okay. You know, and...
Or can fly.
And even though I you know, when I played Mortal Kombat... You know, the last Mortal Kombat that I played was on a Sega Genesis. You know, you had three buttons. You had A, B, C button, and you had a D-pad. And so you worked out all your combos that way. Now we have, you know, four shoulder buttons or, you know, two shoulder buttons and two triggers in addition to a four-button pad and a D-pad. And then you've got analog sticks. And there's just way too many that get mapped out to these extra buttons.
Which is why I think it's great that they've gone back to the basics. You've got a joystick that has all the range motion that your D-pad really should have.
Should have.
And,
doesn't.
Yeah, I know.
And that's, I think, the reason why fighters went away as we started progressing into the new consoles is that...
It became harder to map it out.
Yeah, because you cannot do a fighter on the current D-pads.
No, they don't have the mobility.
You've got to have a joystick.
They don't have the sensitivity or mobility that you would need to pull off half moves necessary.
They don't. So, I'm very excited for the 19th. I am very interested in seeing what multiplayer will be like. I think that, you know, just in when the demo released, just to the PlayStation Plus people, globally they had something like 100,000 people that were playing it, which, you know, one, says a lot about how many people have the PlayStation Network Plus thing, but two, I think, also says a lot about how many people have really been dying for a good fighter, you know, and I think that Mortal Kombat will be a strong game when it releases. And it's really comforting to say, you know, for a series that I, you know, has a place in my heart, basically.
Yeah, I know.
To finally have an outing that is going to be strong is awesome. So that's what I got for this week. You can read up more of what we've been talking about. There's some things on the website right now about Pokemon White and Black from Hamster Man, which you should absolutely check out, as well as some additional fun little anime things, which you can view at any time you'd like by visiting us on the web at www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
esh.co. That is esh.co, the short address. We'll bounce it in the long one. You can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at mailbag@landofesh.com. We are on iTunes. Subscribe to us. We are free.
That's right. To make sure that you get our episodes the moment we put them out on the web, make sure that you do that subscription in iTunes by searching for us in the music store, Electric Sisterhood. You can't miss us. You can also get a subscription to our show in the Zune Marketplace for those that have Windows 7 phones or, you know, the now-to-be-discontinued Zune. You can do that as well. Just hit the little subscribe button. You know you want to.
If you don't want to do that, you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine, but you should be paying attention to the other shows that fly underneath our banner.
That's right. We're not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh. While our episodes go out, typically popping fresh on Mondays, you can follow up and get some other perspectives on the world of nerd from the guys over at the Boston Bastard Brigade podcast, which you can find at bostonbastardbrigade.com. It's hosted by our friend, our homeboy, King Baby Duck. On Wednesdays, you can follow that up with a brand new episode of the Geek Aggro podcast, hosted by Deuces Wild, who's also a brother from another mother, talking about gadgets and gaming and some other things that we don't talk about. And then there's all the stuff we have on Twitter. We're on Facebook. You can ask us questions, interact with us, enter whatever contest that we have going on, which one is coming to a close. So people be ready. Come on now. Help us get to the 100. That's facebook.com/landofesh. And if you want just one-stop shopping for everything that we're doing in one place, including the ability to get a hold of our magazine, which the next issue is being worked on as we speak, kind of, sort of, so you can get that in your hot little hands, and while you're waiting for it, cop the current edition, go to www.landofesh.com for all the news that is ESH. I think I hit all the markers.
Yep. They're all lit.
I think that there's nothing that I haven't bought about. So, what shit you digging this week?
I am digging Spice and Wolf. Which I said I was going to talk about this podcast, but
I guess you're going to have to write about it.
Yep. Spice and Wolf, season 1, available on Netflix. If you like anime, you will really like this.
Okay.
And that's you.
Cool. I'm going to go with these... There's a place that I know, and you know it well too, that has the most amazing chocolate chip and walnut cookies. I mean, they are phenomenal cookies.
They are.
The Gingerbread House in Wakefield, Massachusetts. And evidently, you have to either know somebody or blow somebody to get more than 2 cookies from this place.
Nope, not going to say that.
Thank you. But I love these cookies. So they're the shit I'm digging right now. The chocolate chip and walnut cookies from the Gingerbread House in Wakefield.
There's another one in another place, too, but we go to the one in Wakefield.
We go to the one in Wakefield. And they never have cookies.
I tried.
I know you did. So that's what I got for this week, folks. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I have pretzel in my mouth.
And we're out.
Bye.